It can be sad when you miss your favorite interview. Don't despair. Podcasts are ready on the all-new ESPN Chicago app. It's Waddle and Sylvie.
ESPN 1000.
All right, let's continue the Bears conversation. They are 5-1, and they have a Monday night date with the Los Angeles Rams. That should be great. And then the entire country will be talking about the Bears. You go down there maybe, and if you can get that win, and then you get to 6-1, it would be, go a long way with getting more respect.
Yeah, definitely. If you beat a quality team, and they're a good team, I'm not going to tell you they're going to represent the NFC in the Super Bowl, but maybe they could. They're a good team, and they're a matchup issue with you because they're very good at the line of scrimmage on both sides of the football. So your defense, as dominant as it's been, will be challenged by their offensive line and their quick passing game. But our offensive line, if you thought they struggled to hold up against the Carolina Panthers, Aaron Donald's in the building.
Aaron Donald will be in that building.
Oh, and it's the Leonard Floyd revenge game.
That's right. Mark Potash covers the Bears. He's been doing so for a while. We love talking to him, and we love playing his questions in these Zoom calls, too, because he gets right to the point. Potsy doesn't lack a punch. And
Matt, why does your offense suck?
He joins us right now on the Corona Hotline. What's up, Potsy?
I think what you guys mean is I have no tact.
That's true, too. It's very true. Mark has written for the Chicago Sun-Times for all these years, and we love talking to him. All right, where are you today on the Bears at 5-1?
Wow. In this year's NFL, better than they were in 2012 when the last time they were 5-1. So I just think the offense is a total wild card. I have no idea where they're going on that. But in this year's NFL, with so much mediocrity, I think they have a good chance to stay at the top of that heap of mediocrity. But that gives you no idea of what they can do in the playoffs, which I think is really the important thing. Instead of just trying to make the playoffs with this whatever kind of team they have, how far can they go? Can they do some damage? And we just don't know that yet because – you don't know anything about this offense, where it's heading, and where it is actually.
Potsy, we actually did the research here, and I don't believe. Am I right, Adam Abdallah, that in the modern era since 2000 or 2001, there has never been a team that has gotten to 5-1 with an offense that ranked 27th or below? So they're in uncharted territory. With that as the backdrop, Mark. Do they have enough quality personnel on the offensive side of the football, in your opinion, to trend in the right direction and improve significantly?
Well, not if that offensive line doesn't play any better. I think that's the key to the whole thing. I mean, you know, like I said, I've asked Nagy this, and it's just about the offensive line because it's, to me, it's a major issue. Because if I can tell they're not good, I think it's, it means they're having a problem, and it's a problem because it's not even a quarterback. Literally, you could literally change the quarterback and change your fortunes. You can't do that on the offensive line. They're going to replace Charles Leno and become better. I mean, that's a team within a team that takes a lot of work, and I just see very little evidence that they're getting better. And if you've seen, I think it tried to point this out today, is, you know, the two mistakes, Foles made two mistakes in the last two games that got Trubisky fired, basically. He missed, you know, the long pass he missed to Mooney, and then the bad interception he had the other day. And both of those, especially the latter one, protection was the issue. And I just don't think Foles can overcome that. I think he needs the offensive line to get better for him to be better. I don't think he's one of those quarterbacks who can make the most, like we've seen Aaron Rodgers do, you know, make the most of a bad offensive line. So without any offensive line improvement, I'd say no. I don't see a chance for progress.
Potsy, why did they think that by changing the coach from Heistand to Castillo that this would help the offensive line dramatically?
Well, because they had very few options. I mean, at center and guard with Daniels and Whitehair, they had foundation pieces that any team would legitimately keep. With their tackles, they had cap numbers, dead cap numbers that they just couldn't make changes there. They were just locked into that. The only possibility they had was at guard, and they chose to go with Ifedi. There weren't a whole lot of options there, and probably not any that could really change their fortune. So I just think that it's because they were stuck; they had no options. So changing the coach was like their best hope, and not that it still can't happen, but so far we've seen, you know, I mean, they're, like I said, they're the definition of mediocrity. They were good in those first three games against, you know, average fronts, and then when they faced two good fronts, they weren't very good. And then I don't know what happened against Carolina. They were very bad at the beginning, and then they kind of wore them down a little bit and showed a little bit of something. So maybe you can cling to that. But other than that, I just don't see, I don't see where they're getting better, and I just see that as a major issue.
Patsy, how did they get in this predicament where, with average at best tackles, mediocre probably tackles is more like it, they have all that dead money? Like, That's the problem to begin with, isn't it? That you're hoping that a guy that you pick up from the Cardinals and a guy that you drafted very late in Leno, you know, all of a sudden you keep, and now all of a sudden you've got dead cap numbers on mediocre players.
But it's easy to get fooled with offensive linemen because it traditionally has been a group where the whole is greater than the sum of their parts. We've seen it. I mean, look, you know, we go back to our day when Walter Payton ran behind offensive lines that without a Pro Bowler through, you know, for his first 6-7 years in the league. But it was a good offensive line because they worked together and they had one of the greatest running backs in the game behind them. But so what happens is you get full. I mean, Charles Leno made the Pro Bowl. Did he deserve it 2 years ago? I don't know. But he was good enough, and you can be good enough. And I think you can get fooled a lot, and that's where things can drop off. And I think that's kind of the, you know, kind of offensive line hell, I guess you'd call it, where you go from thinking you've got something. There have been offensive lines that have been, you know, by individually mediocre, but as a unit have been pretty productive, and then all of a sudden it drops off. And I think that's what they've kind of got stuck in, because there's no doubt. I mean, even going back to last year, it's been obvious. They need first-round tackles. They just got to get first. That's got to be priority one. Even unless you can get Trevor Lawrence, that's got to be your number one thing. Get first-round draft pick quality tackles.
It's such a great point, too, because in 2018, I think the majority of people that watch things closely would tell you that Charles Leno played it at a slightly above average level, that he was better than solid. He was pretty darn good. Last year, it just went in the wrong direction, and this year seems more of the same. With regard to the running back, how do you feel, Patsy, about David Montgomery, and does his lack of production reflect, how much of it does it reflect on him, and how much does it, in your opinion, reflect on the offensive line?
Well, I think a guy like David Montgomery, I think his production is solely based on everything else in the offense working, where you've got defenses that are playing back on their heels, not sure, you know, which way the Bears are going to go, and he can take advantage of those openings. He's not going to run over. He's not Derrick Henry. He's not going to run over you and make things happen. But in an offense, much like that Kansas City offense you saw a few years ago, or even now, you get a good enough running back where the defense doesn't know exactly what's coming, and a guy like David Montgomery can be pretty effective, or effective enough.
Yeah.
And not only that, but then you can throw other guys in there, and you can zig when they zag. It's just everything is predicated on everything else in the offense working, and then frankly, that it has to be said that goes back to Nagy. Are the Bears getting what they hired?
Are they?
At this point, no. The best thing he's done is he's changed the culture. He's great at that. And that's kind of keeping them afloat. It's the reason why they're 5-1 now, because they do have this great culture. But as far as play calling, getting people in the best position to succeed, all that kind of stuff, I don't see it. I mean, I think we're coming real close. I know, I'm sure you guys have talked about it. A lot of people have. We're coming to the point now where he's got to consider, it's going to be a bigger issue. He's got to consider giving up play calling and just letting Bill Lazor handle it, or somebody.
He's been on this for a long time. I've been reluctant.
Well, and here's the thing, Patsy. Let's go back to Lovie's days, okay? Lovie's a defensive guy. And the worst year that his Bears defense has had was the year that he took over play calling on defense. He had to call his old buddy, talk Rod Marinelli into calling the defense, and it was a great move. The defense was really good when Ron Rivera called it before that happened. You know, they went through those 2-3 year periods where they were even searching. They were always searching for another offensive play caller, but that wasn't Lovie's specialty. And it needed a tweak there. So if he wins enough games as a head coach, it's the debate that Waddle and I have had. Is he successful if he knows when to get a new play caller in there?
Well, I mean, that's, you know, that's the million-dollar question. I mean, I don't know. I mean, the problem is well, there's two things. First of all, he doesn't have a proven track record. He called what? He called plays for six games at Kansas City.
Right.
I mean, people talk about him fixing this offense. He has, like I said, I wrote this today. He doesn't have to fix this offense. He's got to establish it in the first place. It has not been established what this offense can do. So we really don't know that. And the other thing is, he was brought here. It's a pride thing. He was brought here to be this 21st century play calling, I won't say genius, but just, you know, really good at it. And I think he's determined to make sure that works. And he's had some issues. I mean, personnel-wise, maybe have not been favorable for him. So maybe if things change there, he could be better. But I just think that the pace they're going right now, that's going to have to be an issue because he just seems just not in any kind of a groove. To make so he's great with the wind at his back right now as a head coach, you know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
But his best suit when things aren't going his way on the field is that guy who builds that great culture, and it is good that, you know, if you get the other part of it down, that would really be good, because I think it's a big factor in the NFL in this day and age to have that. But, you know, you need both sides. You got to be both.
I'm with you, Potsy. I think that I'm not so sure he'd be willing to give up the Denny's menu. I didn't want him to coming into this season. I wanted him to prove that he could adjust and stick and move. How likely, though, do you think it is? We've looked at the schedule. Obviously, they got L.A. on Monday. Then they get New Orleans, Tennessee, Minnesota. Then you get the bye. If there's no appreciable improvement in the offense after the next four games and you get to the bye, let's just say hypothetically they go 2-2. At that point, you're 7-3. How likely do you think it would be that he would, in fact, say, you know what, I'm going to give somebody else a try. Bill Lazor, there you go. You're calling plays.
I think it's unlikely. You know, I always thought Joe Maddon should leave the pitching up to somebody else, and you were never going to hit it. That was never going to happen. You know, so you know, I just think he's too married to the offensive play calling thing that I just don't think he's going to give it up unless he's, you know, he has been pretty open-minded and acknowledges reality. If the offense becomes such a drag that it's obvious that he needs some kind of change, you know, maybe then he would do it. But I think in general, I think he's more likely to resist that very much, to tell you the truth.
I've said this, that look, if we're also criticizing Matt Nagy and asking him to give up play calling duties, you should ask Ryan Pace to no longer draft offensive players. Because, like, I would never trust Ryan Pace to draft me another quarterback going forward. And really, if you go through the list of offensive talent, that's sort of why they're in the situation that they're in with bad offenses.
Well, you're absolutely right about that. I think the difference now is that when he was picking, you know, Trubisky, he had John Fox as head coach and Dal Loggins as his quarterback guy. And I think now he's got much more quarterback-centric people who know what good quarterbacking is. They probably got too many like that. So I think I guess what I'm saying is, not to get off on a tangent, but I think his support system to pick a quarterback is a lot better than it was that when he picked Trubisky. You know, not that he, the argument that he shouldn't get the chance to pick the next quarterback is a good one, is a fair one. But anyway, you know, I mean, but you're right. Yeah, I mean, the quarterback situation is, and you know, Nagy giving me a play calling isn't necessarily going to change anything either.
I mean, the talent is the talent.
I mean, they've got to get a lot of things. They've got to get offensive line fixed. What's the Anthony Miller issue?
Right.
You've got all sorts of things that are not progressing the way they should. So you might have you probably have a bigger offensive issue than you think. And like I always say, I can see where this is going. That this offense is finally going to arrive when Khalil Mack is 31 and Akeem Hicks is 32, and now the defense is kind of over the hill.
Don't waste this defense. Don't waste them. Can't.
We're printing up the T-shirts, Potsy. You like that idea?
It sounds good to me. I think that's where they're. It sounds, but can't, you know, if you've been following the Bears for any length of time, you can just see it going that way because they've never quite had that where the offense is just are both like top 10 units. I mean, it's been a long time since maybe the Ditka era.
Potsy, good stuff. We appreciate it. Thank you.
Thanks, Potsy.
Okay, guys, good talk to you again.
There you go, Mark Potash from the Chicago Sun-Times. If you want to follow up on it, they are 5-1. But again,
yes,
like this is a 3-year trend here with the offense, and how are they ever going to fix it? Waddle always likes to say, "How do you dock the boat? What is the solution here?" I mean, you just can't say, "Well, they're 5-1." No, don't worry about a solution.
Stop running into the pier for crying out loud.
Yeah. So 312-332-3776. I also want to talk about the Cowboys. I heard some take that's today coming from Cap that I want to address in regard to the Red Rifle. All that coming up next.
It's Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN _ Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports. ESPN 1000.
Conversations are hot regarding the Bears offense. 312-332-3776. We have Would You Rather coming up at about 4:45. Your chance to win booze from Grand and Western Liquors. Make sure you tweet us here in the next half hour. Your best Would You Rather entries. Use the hashtag WSWouldYouRather. Also, all the people in the Twitch chat room, twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. You guys are free to participate as well in real time. So what's cool about Twitch. I could see Waddle in the First Midwest Bank studio. You can listen to the show that way. Watch
the show.
Is everybody
behaving in the Twitch forum today, Adam?
Yeah, for the most part. I mean, there's some heckling going on as always.
What was the heckling about? I check
They argue about sports. They're arguing about the...
It's a big bar.
Yeah.
This is what this is. This is we have this big bar assembled. It's twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago.
It's BYOB, too.
Yeah, a bunch of people yell at us. Yeah. Right. So. Don't what?
Yeah, just.
You don't behave. Who are you to tell people to behave?
Listen, I'm not doing anything that would be considered illegal or gross.
No, I know. Well, kind of gross. I mean,
not really. I pick my nose every now and again, but not often. I'm not a nose picker as much as I used to be.
I heard the take that's coming from Cap today. I don't know if you guys heard this.
Because I was listening to Jose talk about me pleasuring myself after Bears wins. That's what I heard. And then after that, I had to go vomit, and then I had to get away from the radio.
It was so good. The show's great, as always, Cap and J-Hood. Remember, it's the new morning show, 7 to 10 right now, new hours. But I heard Cap doing his thing again and like, barking and stuff.
Was he going after Jimmy G again this week?
He was going after people like me. He didn't name me, but they're all the fans. You know, how'd you like how the Red Rifle did, huh? The Bears, we should have got the Red Rifle. We should have got Cam Newton. How'd Cam Newton look this week? Listen, mister, if your damn general manager didn't pick this guy, number 2 overall, trading the 3rd overall pick to number 2, we'd never be in the damn situation where we have a bunch of Bears fans calling in to find what the damn, point A to point B guy is. That's the reason we're here.
Just got personal.
We're here. It's not personal. This is everything to do with the most important position in football. This is, he keeps like yelling. He was the guy for 3 years who told us to have patience on Mitch Trubisky, and he never watched a down of Mitch Trubisky at North Carolina. He simply got behind Trubisky because the general manager had cojones and conviction. And then now all of a sudden he's yelling at people like us because we wanted the Red Rifle or we wanted Cam Newton. Yeah, because you know what? Our starting quarterback coming into the year sucked, and he was a bust, and it set the franchise back 10 freaking years.
Oh.
So yell at all of us who wanted the Red Rifle or Cam Newton.
By the way, I was just talking to the fellas at the break as well. Like, I have a tremendous amount of appreciation for how good Ezekiel Elliott is. But isn't the Dallas Cowboys situation, Exhibit A for if you're going to pay and choose between paying one or the other players, you pay the quarterback.
Of course you do, yes.
Like, I mean, like, they're trying to thread the needle and pay them all. Like, Cooper got paid. Didn't Cooper get paid as well,
yes,
Amari Cooper?
Amari Cooper.
But, like, if you were, quote-unquote, choosing between the running back and paying your quarterback, like, isn't that example or Exhibit A? Like, and nobody has got anything really bad to say about
I think he's like Exhibit X. Because we've been down this road with how many guys already. I mean, if you really don't know it now.
It's just a reassurance of.
Like, Todd Gurley, where does he figure in?
Right, but I think
like,
most
this is why he's not Exhibit A. Like, there have been so many guys through the years who look like they're, quote, franchise running backs. But again, it's not the back, it's the running game.
Right, and that's a great way. That's one of the better things that you'll hear over the last several weeks, I mean, about describing the situation. When was the last time, other than Zeke, the guy got paid? Did Derrick Henry, how much did Derrick Henry get paid?
But they didn't go over the top. They still paid him, but it wasn't this prohibitive contract. What was it, 47 mil maybe? Look that up, 55 mil. It wasn't crazy numbers. For running back, you're like, okay, we'll pay him right now at the top of his game for the next 3 years, like $15 million a year.
Signed a four-year, that can't be his new contract. He signed a four-year, $50 million contract.
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
It wasn't bad. It was a, you know, it was, he gets paid. He doesn't have to worry about signing with a new team in a year after holding out like Le'Veon Bell is. But, so he still gets $50 million, but the Titans aren't overpaying.
Yeah, and they probably can bail on that contract a year or two early on it as well.
And boy, do they really revolve around him. Jesse in Surprise, Arizona. I know Jesse was DMing me today on Instagram wanting to get after some more Bears talk. Jesse, you do know that you don't need permission from me on a DM to call the show. You could call anytime you want.
I know. This is new to me. First off, thank you guys for taking my call again. I believe Waddle said last week that the Bears would go maybe 8-8 or 9-7.
I picked them at 8-8 to start the season and not making the postseason.
And now how do you feel about them?
I say they're probably a 10-6 team and they probably get in as a wild card. I would still not pick them over the Green Bay Packers at this point.
Jesse, are you going to call on every Tuesday and ask Waddle to redo his record?
No. I'm getting to a point here. This year compared to the year in 2018, where they, you know, if Parkey doesn't double doink it, is this team better than that team?
I don't think so, and I know there was some stuff written today about how statistically this Bears defense is ahead of the 2018 Bears defense in some statistical categories. The one thing that you have to factor in more than people are now is the explosive plays. Like, there were significantly more takeaways at this point. I think I have the article in front of me somewhere in here.
And you also have a playoff-proven quarterback, too, this year. Don't you feel better going, if they do make the postseason, having Nick Foles as your quarterback than a young Mitch Trubisky?
At this point, through six games in 2018, the Bears had 19 sacks and 17 takeaways. This year, they've got 15 sacks and 8 takeaways. I wouldn't judge this Bears defense against the 18 defense until you give me, to the very least, the halfway point. I don't believe that this defense will be as accomplished as the 18 defense. I don't, when all is said and done. That was close to a historically good defense in terms of big plays. They scored 42. I think they had 42 points on returns. So I don't think this year's defense will be as good as that, but it's a top five defense.
All right, 312. Is Jesse done? Did he make his point? All right, 312. Jesse?
Yeah, I'm still here.
Did you make your point then?
No, I had another question then. If you put Foles on that 2018 team, how far do you think they go?
Super Bowl.
Really?
Well, they almost beat, I mean, look, they were an Alshon Jeffrey drop, that team, the Philly team, away from beating the Saints in New Orleans after they beat the Bears. Remember that?
Yeah.
So, I if they had a better kicker and a better quarterback, I think they would.
I don't think they had the overall offense to get to the top of the mountain, but they would have had a
You can already have a better chance. You would put your trust in Santos in a playoff pressure game to make a kick and win a game, because I don't.
Don't know yet, but look, he's been pretty consistent so far.
Rocky start, but he's been rock solid since.
And my last question is, would you, if you on your depth chart, and I'm talking to Waddle, I love you, man.
Love you too, Jason.
You know, every day here, I listen to you guys, I love you. Would you put Mooney ahead of Anthony Miller?
Well, if you're playing a two wide receiver set, then I think you can make a justification for that. But my guess is they play more three wide receiver sets than they do twos. But like I like Darnell Mooney a lot. But how much did you like Anthony Miller at this point in his rookie season?
Yeah.
Like, this is the year. I think when you get to year three, you know who a receiver is.
Yeah, you got it. You got to have a breakout.
Listen, if I told you,
He's not it.
Well,
he
hasn't been yet, and I'm going to be more patient. I'm going to be more patient than most. I want to get to the end of the 2020 season before I'm willing to say what everyone else is saying right now, that you can't play. I'm going to be a little more patient with him.
Love you, Waddle.
Thank you.
There you go. 3-3-2-3-7-7-6, and don't forget, would you rather coming up in the next 15 minutes.
Weekdays 2-6.
Follow on Twitter at Waddle and Sylvie and at TWaddle87. ESPN 1000.
Chicago's home for sports.
All right, 10 minutes before Would You Rather. Get those Would You Rather entries in. Hashtag it WS Would You Rather. So we'll give away some alcohol from Grand and Western Liquors, talking some Bears and offense and, you know, just things that we're trying to figure out about our 5-1 team and if they can be a team that does find better offense.
Let's
and
do
that
it.
Way,
let's improve.
Like, can they do what Nick Foles was preaching?
Come on, let's do this.
And be average, like Waddle's been saying.
My mind is open.
Chris in Cole City, you're on ESPN 1000. What's up, Chris?
Hey, guys, how's it going?
Good.
We're good.
So, just had a question with Trubisky. Obviously, he's not the guy, but going against Aaron Donald, he's at least average on the edge. Do you think Nagy could give him a couple series just to move the pocket and keep Foles from getting destroyed back there?
No. I just don't think, not being a wise ass, Chris, I just don't think it's – I think they've moved on. I really do. I don't think they look at, and I may be 100% wrong. They may
find. What about
find
a two-quarterback set?
Are you talking about the Kris Kringle play or whatever it was you were giggling
Santa's
about?
You missed this, Abdallah. Santa's Little Helper.
How was that going?
I think Chris told me about this last night.
Two-quarterback center. You get a lateral, you get some motion, and then right before the play, before Trubisky is tackled, he steps out of bounds behind the line of scrimmage.
And then grabs a couple of Christmas cookies.
You guys took this seriously? We took this seriously? He can't run. He can't figure out running plays, let alone enough with the trick plays. I'm getting sick of this guy.
Are you talking about Matt or Mitch?
I'm talking about Nagy.
Oh, okay.
He can't design a run play the right way.
Did you see what Weeder wrote today in the Tribune? It's worth a read about his rewind on the film. They ran that inverted wishbone play. Do you guys remember that late in the game? It was awful. I think Foles threw the ball just out of bounds. Like it was, he just tries to show that he can really design a play instead of doing what this Bears team may be able to do best.
Well, when one of the guys next to you is Travis Kelce, and the guy behind you is Tyreek Hill, and Mecole Hardman is the guy on your right, in front of a line or behind a line that's got a couple of first round picks on it, I think it could work. No?
Right. With these guys, and But they even ran it 40. Well, how many times? 46 yesterday?
Yes, a bunch.
That was a message to the Bears because the Bears defense back in 85 was the 46th defense. They showed you on this rare afternoon game when Matt Nagy could watch that game live that you can run the football.
Do you guys know if Carmen and Yurko mentioned how many times the Chiefs ran the ball? Are you guys aware? Did they mention it?
Were they talking about it a lot today?
No, I'm just wondering because Chris and I, we set an over-under last night after the game.
Oh, that they were going to say it a lot,
That we set it at 6.5 throughout the day between...
For the entire station.
Between 7 a.m. When you get Cap and Jay Hood and 6 p.m. the end of Waddle and Sylvie before Black and Abdallah come back on the air. We set the over-under at 6.5, and I believe... Cap and Jay Hood mentioned once. You guys have mentioned it three times, so we're at four right now. So I'm wondering.
Greeny?
Yeah, we're over.
Did Greeny give us one?
I'm sure he did.
Or did he say it about the Jets?
Okay.
Look, but the coach is the one who said watch the Colts game. I'm just telling him to watch
Waddle's
other games.
Waddle's not thrilled with this.
No. I'm just saying, like, you tell, like, if the Chiefs come out and they throw it 100 times, or they come out and they run it 100 times, I trust them because they have the personnel to do both. Like, that's why I don't question anything really that Bieniemy or Andy Reid does, because like they can run it behind their line.
No, I know, but what it says is if you have maybe the best young quarterback prospect ever, not even a prospect, he's an MVP. Like he's going, his trajectory is towards greatness, and you have him running the show and throwing the football, and to those guys that you mentioned, and he can still go 46 times on the ground, then you can do that as the Chicago Bears.
Yeah, we've seen that from the Chiefs in the past. Like, he still threw it 26 times. Like, they ran it 46 total times, and 10 of those were Patrick Mahomes running.
Drink.
So... Like I
did you see that the Chiefs ran the ball 46 times?
There's the over!
A George in Old Town, you're on ESPN 1000. Hey, George.
There's no George.
My only point is that doesn't really light my fuse.
I'd love to see Matt get creative and talk to Patterson and say, look, we need you full-time as a fullback. You sit right behind in the eye. We're going to get 4 or 5 yards up the middle away from Darnold this week. That'll open up the over-the-middle passes and Robinson and Komet and get the mixture going right.
Patterson's not a fullback, though, George.
I think he could adapt to it for a game or two.
You want him blocking?
You don't want to put Cordarrelle Patterson in an old-fashioned three-point stance and ask him to be a lead blocking.
What about Mitch?
Fullback?
Can Mitch lead? Can he lead
I'm
block?
I'm not saying for like a lot of plays, maybe for 5 or 6 or 7 plays, and you hand it off to him right away. He can break through the line. He's 240 pounds. I mean,
George, you know what I would rather do? I'd rather Cordarrelle Patterson wildcat it than get the quick hitting fullback play. Let him survey the situation.
They can't sustain the blocks. He's got to get to the line quicker. He's fast. He's a load.
Nah, George. Thanks, Aaron in Yorkville.
Do you guys have any alcohol in there? Oh no, you're right. Go ahead, Aaron. Sorry.
What's up, guys? I'm sorry. No, it's all good. Sylvie Strong, first and foremost. I just had one quick statement and then a question. I'll hang up and listen after that. I'm really glad you guys are talking about running backs and the running game right now, because the people that keep comparing, what about this team compared to the 2018 team, and would this happen, would that happen? Well, to me, the big difference is in 2018, Jordan Howard had over 900 yards. I don't think anybody on our team right now is going to have that this year. The question I have, kind of going along the same lines as running game, the offensive line. So we've seen them go sign Lamar Miller. He hasn't been used yet. They signed Manti Te'o today for some depth and linebacker. Why aren't they making any signs for the offensive line? If Nagy's not running the ball, which we can assume is a direct, you know, him thinking, well, we can't run the ball because of the offensive line, then why not make a signing for somebody that can maybe help create a hole? Thanks, guys.
That's a good question, Aaron. I mean, like, go poach some offensive linemen off of other teams' practice squads. Like,
aren't they
good
usually, if they're any good, aren't they in
don't
the league
know.
Already?
I mean, like, listen, Keenan McCardell was on our practice squad, and we all knew he was going to take all our jobs if somebody else didn't
and then
sign
everyone except Wani.
Well, I'm just saying. I mean, like, so yes, you can – you can find guys on practice squads. Sometimes, like, you may have a plethora of offensive tackles in a certain situation. And maybe you've got a good swing tackle as well. But you've also got that guy you drafted in the third round or the fourth round over there that you know can play. He's just behind three or four different guys. Maybe he's better than your option. That's where being good at your job in a front office is, and scouting is, it pays off.
312-332-3776. Much more of your Bears calls and Would You Rather coming up next. Got to check out the home loan expert today. You can close in just a few days and get into the twos. You got to check out my guy, Ryan Kelly, at thehomeloanexpert.com.
This is Waddle and Sylvie. Follow us on the gram at Waddle and Sylvie and at ESPN underscore Chicago. This is Chicago's home for sports, ESPN 1000.
Hey, this is Coach Mike Ditka.
Greg Olsen here.
This is Stacey King.
Hey, this is D. Rose.
What up? This is Ludacris.
Hello, this is Dick Enberg. Would you like to play a little? Would you rather? Oh, my.
By the way, if you're on hold, you want to talk Bears, we're going to get to all your calls. We're guest-free in the 5 o'clock hour. 312-332-3776. Want to talk about the way we shape playoff football as well in the NFL. But right now it's time for Would You Rather. It's brought to you by my guys over at Grand and Western Liquors, located at the corner of
Grand and Western.
You're so smart.
Thank you.
They pass the savings along to you. They've got everything your heart desires. And they've got the best prices, plenty of free parking. Check them out today, Grand and Western Liquors. Guys, what do we have?
He's so smart because he can multitask. He can party. He can
PBR.
Yeah, we can go. I like BRP better. Burp. He can burp.
I like PBR because it is a sign of Waddle's party.
PBR,
days.
Baby.
Well, as Miller Lite is the sponsor of the Twitch set, let's go with burp.
Pretty cool. It's a pretty cool combo.
And people in the Twitch channel can participate. So all you have to do
is
twitch.tv/ESPN1000Chicago. You don't even have to raise your hand. Just type in your question, and we'll try and peruse it and find your question.
He can ball, he can read, and he can party. And Lil Kev wants to know, would you rather add Derrick Henry or Ryan Tannehill to this Bears team?
Ryan Tannehill.
Me too. They don't have a run game. They don't have the line, and they don't have the commitment.
Derrick Henry makes holes, though.
He's great. He is great. But again, the quarterback
is the most important
position.
You guys are the two-man kayak over there, right? Because you guys both are down on Tannehill versus, like, I know I saw the tweet, too. Like, Tannehill, I know he only completed, what, 8 passes in one game in the postseason?
Are you talking about my
other?
Tweet? My tweet I sent out? Yeah, 7 like, and 8.
Do you know what? They didn't need him to do anything else. He didn't make any classic mistakes. Right. He got to the NFC title game.
They didn't need it. I got it.
How many times did Jimmy Garoppolo
throw
the ball?
They won the Super Bowl. They didn't need it.
The Titans gave... they gave Henry how much? $50 million, we just said?
4 years... Was it 460?
$50 million.
450.
Okay. How much did they give Tannehill?
Tannehill got 4 years, 118.
Okay, so who do they value more?
Tannehill.
Okay.
Yeah, the answer to that question, I would go with Tannehill too.
Even though you don't like it.
What was that? Is that cereal?
I went to get a glass cereal. Of water and it's an empty cereal bowl now.
Is it just like a college kid's dorm room in
it
there?
It is. It really is. My workspace. There are no pictures hung up either. They're just stacked on top of each other.
Do you have
They're
picture?
Candy wrappers. We've got a little lotion over here.
Excuse me?
Do you have a Belushi in the college
t-shirt? You got a lotion over there? What are you doing?
Well, look, my skin's dry these days, Waddle. I need to moisturize.
You got a Zoom meeting sometime later tonight?
Knitting Ding Dong Johnson's all over the place.
I got a mini trash can right here, too.
Well, of course. You got to throw your tissue somewhere.
I got some cassette tapes with mixes on it. It is, and I got a hat collection over here.
Why is the sock so stiff?
Oh, wow.
What are you talking about?
Boy, that is some insight. Yeah.
Nick.
Tony La Russa is coming. Speaking of which, Burke wants to know.
I hope not.
He said, I thought he was talking about the White Sox.
Burke wants to know, would you rather have the Sox get Tony La Russa but also sign Springer and Trevor Bauer, or sign A.J. Hinch and get neither of the other two?
Yeah, you'd rather be guided by the old guy and get better pitching.
Yeah, I'll take
George Springer.
I'd take Tony and Springer and Bauer.
Yes. Yes. I still think this is old man love. This is one last time.
That sounds weird.
And it's going to, we are going to get that press release from Tony La Russa Industries with three rings on the letterhead, championship rings, saying he thanks Jerry Reinsdorf, and he's choosing to, at this point, stay out of the game.
Okay.
I was driving around and I was stuck in traffic and I heard this old man love theory and it just sounded
from the outsider's perspective,
it sounded
the words
weird.
Just don't it as you put them weird. In a sentence it doesn't feel right.
I know that's why weird. I used it. Do you think I would use it if it didn't sound right? Like I like the way that it sounds creepy, old man love. That's the point.
Did a website come to mind, Abdal?
I don't know, man. A couple tabs.
Yeah, you do.
A couple tabs.
You probably
for that.
Do know.
Some search history.
Would you guys?
No, let's just keep talking about this.
Old man love. Yeah. Here's a head scratcher. Would you rather never sneeze again or never puke again?
Oh, I'd rather never puke again.
How is that even debatable?
Well, you sneeze more than you puke.
Right, but sneezing is less.
Yeah.
Puking is not like
a COVID sneeze. So yes, you wouldn't want to.
But that's not written there, so I'm assuming it's just a regular sneeze.
I mean, so this would this then abolish the cold? Would you then never have a cold? Or could you have a chest cold?
You sneeze more from an allergy.
Ooh, what if you just
then the allergies are gone?
What if you just constantly had the urge to sneeze, but since you can't
sneeze anymore, you could never sneeze?
The older you get when you sneeze, you could, like Sammy Sosa, you could pull muscles in your back or other places.
I think you could pull a lot more muscles throwing up.
Yeah, I don't want to vomit.
That's
vomiting
true. You're
is
right
awful.
About that.
There's nothing worse than the stomach flu.
So yeah. I think I need
well,
more.
There are things, but like I, you know, in general terms.
I'm going to go sneezing because of the frequency. I'm good for a puke maybe once every 3 years, and it does suck. But then it's like, okay, I got three more years now.
I don't mind sneezing.
No, sometimes a good sneeze feels good. You know, you
I'm one of these
out.
Power sneezers, though, because like I can't just do one. I got eight or nine in me.
Well, it's because you're a dad. That's a dad thing.
Is it?
Totally.
Yeah. Old
Why?
Man dad. Yeah.
The
old dad.
Multiple sneezes? Yes. An old guy thing?
My dad could go 20
I
plus.
I didn't know one. That.
Yeah.
Like the young guys can't multiple sneeze?
I don't know what it is. It's just dads. Dads can do it.
I do multiple if I get like a bad like allergy like attack.
Yeah, but not
thing.
Like your dad.
No.
I'm sure
no.
your dad could do
no.
more.
Really?
What about the surprise loud sneezer who just you don't even know it's coming. It
what
just
the?
Comes out and they got in there like yelling. What's that? Why can't you sneeze quieter? And you've got to do it like you're surprising me?
Well, it's an involuntary act. So.
Wait, what? You just sneezed? That's not a sneeze. It's a sneak attack.
Hey, do you mind if I...
What's next?
So I think I need more context for this one, but would you rather know every magician's secrets or know three conspiracy theories? Mm. And what I want to know is, am I sworn to secrecy or do I get to tell people these things?
It's not listed there, then the rules are there are no rules.
Yeah, and either way, Abdallah, who cares about if you really know how David Blaine does a trick?
Yeah, I don't care.
Like,
well,
I want to know,
Blaine
are there
do
aliens?
Tricks. David Blaine doesn't do tricks. He does
I want to know,
stuff.
Where are the aliens?
Illusions.
Yeah.
Where are the aliens?
Well, I just gave you a story last week that said, like, you know, they're out there. They're more prevalent than you, than the, tell, everyone's letting
I
on.
I want to know conspiracy.
So, tell me so about the moon.
What are the top three conspiracies you'd want to know?
The moon landing? Duh.
No, we're the only one.
You're not the only one. There's literally movies and books written about it.
No. The alien is number one.
You just wasted one of your picks.
No, uh-uh. I didn't, because when I find out the truth.
Somebody's right. Aliens. That's one.
What do you mean aliens? They exist. What do you
all right, we need two more.
Where are they?
Aliens?
What do they look like?
They're in space. What do you mean?
Are they here?
Some.
You Mr. Know-it-all. Mr.
Are you guys into Bigfoot? You want to figure
There's
that one
no
out?
There's no Bigfoot.
No, I don't care.
There's no Bigfoot.
I don't care
no
about Bigfoot.
No big land beast?
No.
Not interested in that?
No.
Ghosts.
Another conspiracy.
I think it starts with aliens. It goes to ghosts.
Well, so we know ghosts are real. Come on. That's
well,
it.
Well, I want
that's
docu- I want. I want
you
to know.
Know for sure.
For okay. sure, yes. Because right. those things can really...
You guys know my other one that I want to know.
And what happens after you die?
Stevie Wonder.
Whether or not he's actually blind?
That's a bit. radio.
It's not. It's not.
Abdallah's got a bunch of bets.
Oh, he's got videos that show.
I've got
like,
videos
that microphone stands are
falling.
I'm not the only
one.
Catches,
I'm not the only one.
To sell records.
I'm telling you. I'm telling you.
Sell records.
These are good. These are good. Give that guy the winner. Give him the boost.
German Dominguez.
There you go. All right. We'll take your Bears calls here coming up in 2 minutes and why the NFL needs to do away with their old school playoff rules.